Amen. Thank you, Carter, for that. That was a blessing. My hope is Jesus. Hope that's a message each to every one of our hearts tonight. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. If you would please turn there. Proverbs chapter 2 in your Bibles. Excited to be able to preach tonight. Never take it lightly. I'm thankful for Pastor trust us with the opportunity to do this. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 2. Let's all stand together once you find your place. Here on a Wednesday night, ready to receive what God has for us to receive tonight. With prepared hearts ready. Just to make changes where we need to make changes. And just be reminded of some things we may need to be reminded of. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll start reading there in the first verse. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." We'll stop reading right there. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. Thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the privileges to be in church tonight. And I pray, God, that as we're here, God, we're ready to receive what it is you have for us to receive tonight. What if there's some things that are distracting us right now? If there's some things, Lord, that are heavy on our hearts, I pray, Lord, for right now we'd put those things aside, give those things over to you, God, so we can receive your word, God, as you intend for us to receive it. God, as we receive it, Lord, we would apply it to our hearts. I pray to be with me as I preach. I pray that I say your words only. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Kids are wiser than we give them credit for most of the time. I found some things online that some kids had very good nuggets of wisdom. Some kids had given some input on. One boy named Michael, he said, "When you're in trouble and your dad asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." Another boy named Patrick said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." A little girl named Talia said, "When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair." A boy named Amir said, "You can't hide a piece of broccoli in your milk." A little boy named Mitchell said, "Try not to sneeze when you're eating a cracker. It's painful." Been there. And then a boy named Michael said, "Never tell your mom her diet's not working." It's not good. That's some good earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is a valuable thing. If we look at different people here in this world, there are many people that are knowledgeable or have different jobs that other people don't have. And you think about certain occupations like an electrician. There's been these little things in my house that I've had trouble with and I can't figure them out. It seemed like a big deal, and I'll call somebody like Rob Kennedy. And in about 5 minutes, he can tell me what the problem is. That's a pretty that's valuable wisdom. You think about the plumbers, or you think about a mechanic, you think about an orthodontist, someone that is very knowledgeable in a certain area and puts those things to practice, and that wisdom that they have, because not many other people have it, is very valuable, very useful. You know, as valuable as earthly wisdom can be, godly wisdom is worth so much more. The Bible says, you look over there in Proverbs chapter 3, just a page over, it says in verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." In May of 2012, there was a 32-carat Burmese ruby and diamond ring. It's part of a collection of a name Lily Safran. She's one of the richest women in the world. And it was estimated that ring was going to go for $3 to $5 million, and it did not go for that much. It went for more than that, $6.7 million for a ruby and diamond ring. It's pretty valuable. But as valuable as that ruby may be, as valuable as that jewelry may have been, the Bible tells us that godly wisdom is far better and more valuable. It says it's more precious than rubies, and all the things we can desire are not to be compared to her. It doesn't just say that it is more precious or that it is better. It says it cannot compare to those things. All the things we can desire cannot be compared unto wisdom. I'm trying to think of some things that I would like. I would like $1 million. I feel like I could do a lot with that $1 million. That'd be very helpful to me. I'd love to have the IQ of a genius. I think that'd be pretty helpful. One thing that I would really like and would be a black on black Range Rover Super Sport autobiography. I would love one of those. I would be excited to receive one of those. But the Bible tells me that anything that I can desire cannot be compared to godly wisdom. You think of all these things of value, all these things that you could desire, all these things that you could work for, and the Bible says that none of those things can compare to godly wisdom. It's not just better than those things, but it's not even comparable. Wisdom is valuable. What are some benefits that we can receive from wisdom? If you look there in verse 10, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Wisdom gives discretion and understanding. Discretion, definition there, is to judge critically of what is correct and proper. So with wisdom, I can judge critically what is right and what is wrong. With godly wisdom, I can discern what I should do in any given situation. Then it says we'll also have understanding. We will have the knowledge. We will have the comprehension of what it is that God wants us to do. We'll have comprehension of the plan that he has for our life, for the things that we should do or should not do. We will have that discretion. We will have that understanding. Understanding of what? Discretion from what? Look there in verse 12. It says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man." To deliver thee from the way of evil. To deliver thee from the wicked things of this world. If you keep on going in those passages, verse 12, it talks about those that speak evil. So with godly wisdom, if we have the wisdom of God, if we have applied the knowledge and we have the wisdom that God has blessed us with, we won't be a person that speaks evil. So we won't be a person that spreads lies. We won't be a person that gossips about someone. We won't be a person that speaks evil towards someone to hurt them. We won't be slanderous. We won't say things that we shouldn't say. If we have wisdom, we'll be a person that doesn't do those things or say those things. Verse 13, if we have wisdom, we'll be one that walks in righteousness and walks uprightly and makes right decisions each and every day of your life. If you're a person of wisdom, you will choose the right way. You will walk the right way. You will not live in wickedness. We will not choose to do things that are contrary to the word of God, because if we have biblical wisdom, we have that discretion and the understanding. If we have wisdom, it says not only will it keep us from walking in the way of the evil man, but it also talks about there in verse 14, those who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. We won't just walk in the wrong path. We also will be a person that doesn't find sin funny. We'll also be a person that doesn't rejoice in our sin. We won't rejoice in wickedness. We can look around our world, we find plenty of people rejoicing and having fun over those things and finding some of those things even funny. When we think about rejoicing in wickedness, one of the things I think about is something that's been brought up here just in the past couple weeks, that bill that was passed in New York where when people are finally get it approved that they're able to murder a baby very late in the term, they were rejoicing over that wickedness. That's because they lacked biblical wisdom. That discretion, that understanding, it also keep us from the crooked path, as it says there in verse 15. It's not just deliverance from the evil way, but it's also going to be deliverance in the temptations of life. Look there in verse 16, it says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Solomon wrote this passage to his son. He had experience with a strange woman. He wanted him to be aware of these things and wanted him to have wisdom so he could avoid the same mistakes that he himself had made. And he said, hey, she's going to flatter you with your words, and it may seem good, it may seem exciting. You may be enticed to give in to this temptation, but it is wicked and will pull you away from the blessings and ways of God. And he wanted him to understand the need for wisdom in his life. There's a lot of things in this world that may seem appealing. It may be enticing, but with biblical wisdom, we can avoid those things. Not just adultery and fornication, as it's speaking about in this passage, but we think about all the things that the world and that Satan does his best to make look good. Think about the temptations that there may be in this world with alcohol and with a lifestyle of just living for the moment, living for the party, living for these feelings that you can get from those certain things. Think about the temptations and how it's all glorified, unmarried sexual relationships and the wickedness there, but how they make it look so enticing on the television, on the movies that you may see, or people may talk about it in such a good way, but it's wickedness, and with wisdom we can avoid those things. Wisdom gives discretion and understanding to the wickedness of this world, so we can avoid it, so we can stay away from it. Deliverance from the evil man and deliverance from the strange woman, those temptations in life. It's deliverance from those things, but it's also deliverance or a prod towards righteous living. If you look there in verse 20, it says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So wisdom is not only going to give you discretion to stay away from the wicked things of this world and to not try to find joy in those temptations, not try to walk in the way of the evil man, but it's not just going to keep you from those things, but it'll help get you in the right direction. Godly wisdom will not just keep you from sin, but it'll keep you on the right path, living righteously, making decisions according to the Word of God. Godly wisdom will help you in those decisions. It's not just keeping us from sin, but it's keeping us on the right path and in that life where the blessings of God are and the life where true joy is found. Where we can live upright, where we can live blameless. Wisdom is needed for that life. And without it, we will struggle. Without biblical wisdom, we will find ourselves in a hard spot. We will find ourselves in sin. We will find ourselves being fooled by the trickery of the devil. Many of us in here tonight know what the Word of God says. We are aware of the commands of the Word of God. We're aware of what the Bible says. We're aware of things that we should stay away from and things that we should do. We have the knowledge of those things, but there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. We can have all the knowledge of the Word of God. We can understand, we can know what it says and still not have wisdom. Knowledge is the act of knowing, and wisdom is the act of doing. Wisdom is what we do with the knowledge of the Word of God. Here's a quote I saw earlier. Only the Word of God can preserve the soul from corruption and keep one's feet on the paths of life. We need the Word of God to guide us, to direct us, but it's more than the knowledge of God. It is the wisdom that God gives through His Word to choose His way and to stay away from the wicked. What an awesome thing it is to be able to go through life with God's wisdom. With the Word of God at our disposal that we can go to, that we can know, that we can meditate on, that He can give us understanding of through wisdom. What an incredible thing that is. If we look in the book of Proverbs, we could spend a lot of time looking, knowing the importance of wisdom and how valuable it is. I'm just going to give you one verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The successful Christian life will be one with biblical wisdom. That's what wisdom is. The discretion, that understanding, the right path, doing right, making the right decisions for the Lord. So what can we do to have wisdom? What are some things that we can do to make sure that we have the wisdom that God wants us to have? The first thing we find here very clear in this passage, we need to receive it. Look there in verse 1, it says, my son, If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Receiving is key. It's important. Being a father, there's some things I try to teach my boys, my sons and my daughters, but particularly my boys in the area of baseball. Jackson has played baseball for 3 years. Peter's hoping to play here very soon, but one thing that's somewhat important in baseball is the ability to catch a baseball. And I remember when we first started trying to play, I'd throw it to Jackson and it would hit him in the face, or he would dodge it and try to stay away from it. And finally, one day, he grasped the concept of using his glove to catch the baseball. If he was to go out there on the field and try to play a game and the ball is hit to him and he just kind of dodges it, or he tries to catch it, does his best, but he can't, he's not going to help the team succeed. The team will not win if he can't receive the ball. We cannot have wisdom unless we receive the Word of God. We won't find ourselves with the gift of wisdom from God if we are not doing what we need to do to receive what it is He wants us to receive. And the first thing that we do to receive the Word of God is we need to incline our ear unto wisdom. When it speaks of inclining your ear, it is to give attention to, or to take heed of the Word of God, to take heed of what is being preached, what is being taught. If we're going to get wisdom, if we're going to receive it, we need to incline our ear to it. You know, we have so many opportunities to receive the Word of God. Many of us, several times a week, are in a position in church to receive what it is God wants us to receive. And when we are in church, it's very easy to not incline our ear. Very easy to get distracted. It's very easy just to kind of daydream and forget about the reason that we are here. But when we are in this position, we need to incline our ear to the knowledge of God. What about our Bible reading? You can read the Word of God without inclining your ear to it or receiving the Word of God. It takes a little bit of effort on our part. Many of you are in a position often to receive biblical counsel or to receive biblical encouragement or in a position where biblical thoughts are being given towards you that can help you, but you won't receive that if you're not inclining your ear to it. Think about the youth every Thursday night. If you're not inclining your ear to it, you will not receive what it is God wants you to receive. In your Sunday school classes, if you're not inclining your ear, you won't receive what it is God wants you to receive. We must give attention and take heed to the Word of God. But sadly, so many times it's in one ear and out the other. Another commentator spoke on this thought. He said, God's intention is that you and I make His wisdom our own. We are to learn it from the Bible, and nobody is to know it in our stead. It's individual soul liberty. You are responsible to take heed and to bring it in. He said, pastors are charged by God with helping us to grow, but we must make His word ours so as to keep it with us. Are we taking in the Word of God? Not just incline our ear in the reception of it, but also applying our heart towards it, as it says there in verse 2. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. We need to apply ourselves to what the Word of God says. Not just incline our ear, not just receive it, not just know what it says, but apply it to fully receive it. This shows effort must be given. Something I used to hear all the time growing up, something I've tried to say, especially working with the youth, is when we know we need to change something, nothing will change until we change something. So we can receive the Word of God all we want, we can know what it says, we can incline our ear to it, but if we don't make a change according to the Word of God, nothing's ever going to get better. So look there in Proverbs chapter 6, just a couple pages over. Not just receiving it, not just giving ear to it, but also meditating on it and applying it to our heart. It says there in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 21, he says, my son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And he says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is the light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Talks about the law of God and how we need to bind them upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. About 5:30 this evening, I tied this tie around my neck. I tied it one time, and I went downstairs and helped Tally feed the kids a little bit, and we came here to church, and I walked around, I've done some things, I started to preach, and this tie is still around my neck. It has gone everywhere with me. It's a pretty amazing thing. Tied it about my neck, and it has gone everywhere with me today. It has gone everywhere with me since I did that. He speaks about tying the Word of God about our neck. You know, if we are going to meditate on the Word of God or apply it to our heart, to our life, it's going to be something that we take with us. It's going to be something that we think about. It's going to be something that when we're in a position and we're in a place of need and need some guidance from His Word, if it is tied about our neck, it's something that we will use and apply. Are we doing our part with what is already given to us? Are we making an effort to clear our minds and to completely receive and apply the Word of God? First thing we need to do is receive it by inclining our ear and applying our heart. And the second thing we find in this text is we need to ask for it, to ask for the Word, ask for wisdom. If you look there in verse 3, he says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." It says we need to cry after it. We need to pray for it. We need to ask for it. That word cry that he uses there in this passage is the same word that you would use for a baby crying for milk, or for a starving man that was crying out for someone to give him bread. We should have that same intensity in our life. We should have the same intensity in our prayers and asking God for wisdom, that we cannot live without it. We don't want to go another moment without his wisdom. It should be that big of a desire to us that we cry and we cry and we ask for it. You know, the Word of God says in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you want wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and it says he giveth to all men liberally. There's no certain amount that you can only get per day. It's God will continue to give you all the wisdom that you need and above and beyond what we need. There's plenty for everybody. We have to ask for it. When I first started working at the church, I think I was 22, and I was very nervous about the thought of being a young man, pretty much a kid still, and having to help people. And I remember after a couple visits of training, going out with one of the staff guys, I had to go by myself to visit people at a hospital or to visit them in a nursing home or even at their home, try to talk to people. And I was very nervous about that. I was thinking, what can I say to help somebody? So what I started doing, and I still do it, whenever I'm going to a visit, whenever I would go, I would spend time in prayer on the way there, asking God just to give me what I need to help that person. And always, just one last time when I'm in the elevator on the way to someone's room, I always pray one last time, asking God to just give me the wisdom I need to be an encouragement. And you know what? Every time I've asked God for that help, he's helped me. I'm not very talented in the area of bringing things up from my mind. I'm not a very gifted orator. I have very small words in my vocabulary. I'm not very good at many of those things. But when I've asked God for that wisdom to help, he has. He won't give it to you until you ask for it. He wants us to have it. We just have to ask. One thing I really wanted as a boy was a BB gun. I had three sisters. I was all by myself. I needed things to keep me entertained. And one Christmas, my parents asked me what I wanted, and I was always that kid that was afraid to ask for something that was a little dangerous for a kid to have. It's a BB gun. But something that was a little different than just the normal toys. I was always afraid to put myself out there to see what, just to be rejected with those kind of things. And so finally, one year, I asked my parents for a BB gun. My dad laughed at me. And he kind of just kept messing with me and telling me, no way, you're not going to get that. You'll hurt somebody and you're not ready for that. But I kept asking. As we got closer to Christmas, the more I asked, the more rejection I got. But I continued to ask. And I remember that Christmas morning, we opened all our presents and we got the different gifts from Mom and Dad. And it looked like Christmas was over. And then my dad left the room for a minute and came back around the door. And there he was with my BB gun. I was excited. was something that I really wanted, something I wasn't sure I was going to get, but I would have never gotten it if I wouldn't have asked for it. God liberally wants to give us all the wisdom that we need. But many of us don't have it because we've never asked for it. Think about the decisions we have to make each and every day, and those burdens that we carry, those decisions that we have to make, those people that we feel like we need to help, and those decisions we need to make for our family, those things that we feel like we need to do, and we find that it's extremely hard, and we may struggle with these things and feel burdened by these things, or maybe give up on certain things because we feel like it's out of our control, out of our hands, and maybe out of the knowledge that we may have. But have we asked God for wisdom in those areas? We won't have it unless we ask for it. If we want wisdom, we need to receive it. We need to ask for it. And the last thing tonight, we need to search for it. It says there in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, seek and to search. There's this man named Howard Carter. He's an archaeologist, and he searched for 30 years for something that most people thought did not exist, and it was the tomb of King Tut. Experts believe that everything in that Valley of the Kings, what they call it there, experts believe that everything that was going to be discovered was discovered by that point. But this man continued to search. 30 years go on, and then past that 30 years, he went another 5 years searching. The man that funded his searches, Lord Carnarvon, gave him pretty much a last notice saying, this is it. You've gone 35 years looking for this. If it was there, you'd find it by now. And he was going to stop funding the search. But in November of 1922, during the final season of his exploration, he uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. And on the other side of the hidden staircase was a 3,000-year-old tomb and mummy. He located the tomb of King Tut. It was something that he had searched for, possibly the greatest archaeological treasure ever discovered. But it was 35 years of searching and searching to find it. You know, his search was driven by a firm belief that there was treasure to be found. The Bible says if we search for wisdom, we'll find it. You know, there's wisdom for us in the Word of God. But many people say, you know, I tried and I just didn't get anything. Well, keep going, keep searching. You know, there's wisdom for us in the trials of life. But we won't find them if we're not searching for them. You know, maybe somebody in here tonight that has been hurt by someone. Maybe someone that you highly respected may have done you wrong or done something they shouldn't have done, and it's discouraging to you, and you, maybe you feel pity for yourself, or you have bitterness in your heart because of the things that you've gone through. But if you search for it, there's wisdom in those things for you. There may be some trials that you've gone through and some things that you wouldn't wish on anybody else, but if you search in those times, there's wisdom for you in those things. The Bible says if we search for it, we will find it. There's wisdom in the experiences of life. There's wisdom from the godly people around us. There's wisdom from the experiences, the trials, the temptations of this life, but we will not get it unless we search for it. It's not going to be easy. You think about all these treasure hunters, these people that have searched for years and for years. There's a lot of time given to it, and we should give the same time to God. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of attentiveness that needs to be given. But as we continue to search, we will find wisdom. This year has been a hard year for me in the area of car keys. I really haven't lost keys in my life, but 3 times this year I have lost my car keys. I remember one night in particular, there was somewhere I needed to be, and I get all ready to go, and my car keys were gone. Hallie and I searched, and we searched, and we searched, and finally we had a locksmith come to the house, and that locksmith, I figured the only place left is the van, so we got to figure it out. Locksmith came, and that locksmith couldn't get into the van, so somebody else had to come out, and they finally got into the van, and the keys weren't there. I spent 6 hours that night looking all over our house, all over everywhere for these keys, and could not find them. So So we finally give up for the night. We go to bed. I wake up at 6 the next morning hoping that one last search, they're just going to pop up. And I did not find him. And then I remembered that when I got home that evening, I took something over to our neighbor's house. And as I went outside and I walked to his yard, there the keys were in the middle of a rain puddle, exactly where I dropped them. You know, we will search and we will search and we will search for a lot of things, but we'll give up after just a few minutes of searching for wisdom from God. We will search and we'll try to find something, we'll look and we'll look, but sadly, we don't give the same effort to the things of God many times. It says there's wisdom if we search for it. If we want wisdom, we need to receive it. We need to ask for it. We need to search for it. And I love verse 5. We have those three ifs leading up to verse 5. And then it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. It says, if you receive it, if you ask for it, if you search for it, you will find it. It's a pretty definite thing. We'll find that wisdom that'll keep us on the right path. We'll find that wisdom that can keep us away from temptations. We'll find that wisdom to stay away from the wicked things of this world and to make the right decisions, to stay on the good path and to keep us from giving in and the trials of life. If you do those things, it's yours. Probably going to get in trouble for this. I don't know. My wife has made one really bad meal in our marriage. And we talk about it, we joke about it on occasion. We were newly married, and she really wanted to do something special one night. And I remember, I love chicken and broccoli Alfredo. It's something that, it's probably one of my favorite meals. And she had this recipe. She was going to make Alfredo sauce from scratch. And she wanted to just do everything just right. And we sit down that night, and we start to eat. And the Alfredo sauce smelled great, and the pasta just looked good. She had the table set all beautiful and everything. And the only thing wrong with the dish was that there was raw broccoli on top of the pasta. There's something that she didn't understand at that point, that when you ate broccoli on Alfredo, that it needed to be cooked, needed to be steamed. And I remember us sitting down, and you could smell the raw broccoli, and we began to eat it, and it was, you know, very crunchy and didn't quite go along with the rest of the meal. And finally, she could tell when we talked about it, and everything was good after that point. There were so many good aspects for a good meal, but there was one thing that was missing, one step for it to be complete. Because of that, it didn't really please us. God has given us a plan, things that we need to do to receive wisdom. And if we don't have those things in our life, if we're not giving effort to receive it, to search for it, to ask for it, most likely we're not going to have what God wants us to have. Pretty simple, but it's true. It's clearly laid out for us tonight. To be a Christian, living right, making a difference, we need biblical wisdom, and we will not have it if we don't receive it, ask for it, and search for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a musical invitation, but the altar is always open. Maybe you're here tonight and you need wisdom. Maybe you're here tonight and there's some things in your life that you need, that you are trying to figure out. Maybe you're in a place where you really realize you haven't asked God for help. Can't have wisdom unless we are receiving it, asking for it, and searching for it in every area of life. He promises when we do those things, we will find it. Lord, I love you, God. Thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you for all you've blessed us with. And Lord, tonight I ask that you just be with each and every one of us. God, I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to have your wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, that you not only give it to us, God, you give it to us liberally. And I pray, God, that we are aware of that tonight. And with that awareness, God, we have a desire to do the things we need to do to have your wisdom. Help us be people that incline our ear unto knowledge. Be people that give attention to your word and to try to receive it each and every day. And as we receive it, God, we would apply it. But I pray we'd be people that are people of prayer, asking you for help, asking you for wisdom each and every day. And God, that we'll also be people that are willing to give diligence, or not to just the things in our life, but God, to you, to your word, to receiving wisdom. Lord, I pray that as we do those things, that you'd bless us as you promised in your word. We'd have your wisdom. God, we'd be the Christians you'd have us to be. We'd have the walk that you'd have us to have. We'd make the difference that you intend for us to make. And I pray with all these things that you just give us your blessings, your safety. We ask this in your name, amen.